Now, there are five portions of scriptures that I would like to read with you that would focus our attention on this man, Barnabas, and on his life. The first scripture I would like to read with you is from Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, the end of the chapter, there are two verses. Verse 36, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is by being interpreted the son of consolation, or the son of encouragement, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. The next portion is in chapter 9. And in chapter 9, and we might read from verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in, going out at Jerusalem. And then our next portion is in chapter 11. Chapter 11, and we will read from verse 19. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. It came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. There stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Jerusalem, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. We read in chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, which is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. Finally, a portion in Acts chapter 15. We read from verse 36. Acts 15, verse 36. And in those days, Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren to the grace of God. He went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now we believe that the Lord will bless to us the portions that have been read. I see in Acts chapter 4, I see Barnabas as a committed believer. And then I see in Acts chapter 9, I see Barnabas as an interceder. And then in Acts chapter 11, I see Barnabas first as a trusted servant of the church in Jerusalem. And then I see him as a trusted messenger of the church in Antioch. And then we see in Acts chapter 13, Barnabas as a missionary. And finally, we see in Acts chapter 15, we take a look at Barnabas as a restorer of one who had fallen away. Now, the importance of this man, Barnabas, and his ministry in the Word of God is often neglected. It's forgotten about. It's overlooked. And yet he performed a vital service for the Lord in his day. He made a tremendous contribution to the work of others. I was thinking of Barnabas, and I thought of the influence that he would have had on the Apostle Paul. I believe that the Apostle Paul was a loner. He liked to work alone. And yet from the Barnabas, he learned this, that it is important to work with others. And so we find that Paul sought to emulate Barnabas, and he would bring along others to be with him that he might teach them. In Acts chapter 9, we find that Barnabas is interceding on behalf of the Apostle Paul. That the result of that intercession was the bringing of the gospel to Europe and down to us. In Acts chapter 15, we find him again, and he's interceding on behalf of a young man named Mark. And as a result of Mark's restoration, we have the gospel of Mark that would encourage us and would teach us about what the Lord Jesus Christ was like as a person. When we look through this epistle to the Acts, this book of the Acts, and we come to chapter 15, we find the estimation that the church gave for this man Barnabas. And there we read in Acts chapter 15, they say, Our beloved Barnabas. He was greatly beloved by the church in Jerusalem and in Antioch. That was their estimation of Barnabas. Well, let's look first of all in Acts chapter 4, and we see Barnabas as a committed believer. You know, tragically, I meet many believers at the airport and in other places, and they would tell you they have trusted Christ. I think of one lady, and there's no doubt that she has trusted Christ. And yet she goes to no church. She fellowships with no other believers. She obviously reads her Bible and learns much about it. But tragically, she's really not committed. And I think that's one of the tragic things in the life of a true believer, not to be committed to the Lord, to the work of the Lord. That there many times they're absent from the meetings of the assembly. But here was Barnabas, and he showed his commitment by what he did. You know, we're not told the day of Barnabas' salvation. But I wonder if it's possible that Barnabas might have been saved in Acts chapter 2 as the Apostle Paul of Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost. That perhaps Barnabas, and I like to think that Barnabas was in that audience, and he heard the Apostle Peter preaching the gospel and presenting the Lord Jesus Christ. And Barnabas was touched and saved. In Acts chapter 4, we find that he's making a commitment. He's taken all of his possessions and he's giving them to the Lord. He then becomes an example to other believers. His example, I believe, motivated other believers in those days to be totally committed to the Lord. You find that as you go through Acts, that commitment that he made never faltered. When we look at that, we find that, first of all, he's a Levite. When I think of the fact that he's a Levite, I think of what a Levite was associated with. In the Old Testament, the Levite was so associated with the tabernacle. He was involved with the work of the tabernacle, the setting up of the tabernacle, the arrangement of the furnishings of the tabernacle. He was involved with the worship in the temple. But then I think of this fact. All those things that were his by birthright did not make him fit for heaven's glories. There had to come a day in his life when he trusted Christ as his Savior. Do you know, the idea of a Levite, it means join. And when we look at the life of this man Barnabas, we find that he was joined to the Lord's people, united with them. Being a Levite spoke of communion and of companionship with the Lord. That was in the life of Barnabas. But when we first meet him, we find that his name is Joseph. Now, there are two meanings to that word Joseph. One is exalted, but I like the other second meaning. It means fruitful. Joseph was a fruitful man. He brought fruit to God. He brought worship there. But then it says they named him Barnabas. Barnabas is a word that means, in our authorized, it's the word consolation. But the word really is encourager. Barnabas was an encourager. He sought to encourage the people he came in contact with. And you know, a true encourager is the one who comes alongside. He supports and he gives all the help that's needed at that moment. He's there. And the object of his service is to strengthen a fellow believer. And so we will see that a little later in the life of the Apostle Paul. But an encourager knows this fact, that it will take time to encourage another believer. It just does not happen with taking them aside, giving one little talk. That won't encourage them. It needs to give encouragement over a period of time. It needs to be with them, to listen to them, to be available to help them. Well, I thought of a few things about an encourager. Has to be available. He has to be respectful of others. He has to be a good listener. And he has to be compassionate. And he needs to be someone who can keep a confidence. He won't be telling you others about your problems. And you know, as I thought of Barnabas as an encourager, I thought of this. You know, in the assembly in which we belong, We cannot all be like the Apostle Paul, like the Apostle Peter. We cannot be like that. But we can all be like Barnabas. We can all seek to encourage one another, to seek to come along and listen to them and help and strengthen each other. And you know, by his actions, Barnabas demonstrated his commitment first to the Lord and then to other believers. And he became a positive example of a Christian in those days. But now we should move on to chapter 9. And we take a look at the apostle Barnabas, and he's now interceding on behalf of another. And from different commentators, I learned that this is approximately 8 years after chapter 4. So we have a period of about 8 years have taken place. What's Barnabas been doing in those 8 years? Well, Barnabas has been winning the confidence of the local church in which he's been there. He's been winning their confidence so that when it comes to interceding on behalf of the Apostle Paul, the church is ready to take his recommendation. He has come to such a state of their recognition of him that they're ready to listen to what he has to say. He has built up their confidence. They've got confidence in him. And you know, when I thought of an interceder, I thought of some of the intercessory prayers in the Old Testament. You know, we think of Moses. And it was mentioned in worship this morning about that day when the children of Israel in Numbers chapter 14 came to the promised land and they refused to go in. And God was going to said to Moses that he would wipe them all out. And there we have Moses pleading with God that God would pardon their sins, that God would lift them up. And God listened to the prayer of Moses as he interceded that God would pardon them. And well, there were those who, from 20 years old and upward, that God said would not enter into the promised land. There were still those that God pardoned and brought them into the land. Then I think of Daniel in chapter 9 of the book of Daniel. And Daniel there, he's interceding and he's praying on behalf of Israel. And Daniel there, he acknowledges the sin of the people. He takes it upon himself that they had sinned against a righteous God. And Daniel pleads that God would restore to them the land, the city, the temple. God heeded the prayer of Daniel. There came a man who went out and they were able to build again the temple and the city. Then I thought of Ezra in Ezra chapter 9. And he as well. And he pleads with God that God would cleanse his people from their uncleanness. And God listened to his prayer. And so, when we think of Barnabas as an interceder, we can think that there were many examples of those who gave intercession through the Old Testament. Then we take a look at this, and in chapter 9, and we read in chapter 9 that when Saul was come to Jerusalem, they were afraid of him. They knew his past reputation. And because of Saul's past reputation, he needed somebody to intercede on his behalf. He needed some way to win their confidence. And who would do it? Who would be the one who could intercede on Saul's behalf?
that says, but Barnabas. Like that word, but Barnabas. There was one who was willing to step forth and intercede. You know, we met him in chapter 4, and there in chapter 4, he is displaying brotherly love as he makes provision for the needs of others. And again, he is showing love towards another. Barnabas was an able encourager, and he could strengthen Saul in his service for the Lord, but he was also an interceder, and he could step into the breach between the church in Jerusalem and this man, Saul. And we read that Barnabas took him. Barnabas came alongside of Paul. And when Barnabas came alongside of Paul, he met with him and he conversed with him and he heard how God had been dealing with the Apostle Paul and had been working in the life of the Apostle Paul. Barnabas befriended Paul, or Saul, and he intercedes. And he comes to the church, and he can intercede on the behalf of the Apostle Paul. And he speaks about him, and he speaks of Saul's conversion. And he says, he has seen the Lord. And he intercedes, tells him about Saul's conversion. Then he says, then he speaks about Saul's consecration. He has spoken to the Lord. The Lord has spoken to him. The Lord has directed his life and given him, told him what he is to do. And then we find this. He speaks of Saul's commitment. Saul has committed his life to the Lord. He has preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. I was particularly interested in that you find that Barnabas makes no mention of any of Saul's failures. There's no mention of his past. And I think of how the Apostle Paul later would say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. No mention of the past. It's all mention about Saul's relationship to Christ. And then, in thinking of this meeting here, I thought of Galatians chapter 1, verse 18. It tells us that for the next 15 days, Saul visited with Peter. And you know, I've often wondered, and I've kind of wished that I was there at that time, that perhaps in the evening hours, those two giants, Paul, who would have known from memory many of the scriptures, and perhaps most of the scriptures of the Old Testament, and Peter, who would have known the life and the miracles and all the things that the Lord Jesus Christ had done. And it seems, and this is my imagination, but in the evening hours, after it began to get dark, that these two giants in the faith would talk about how the prophecy of the Old Testament was fulfilled in the presence and the walk of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these two would be able to converse, and they would be able to point out, yes, that prophecy was filled at that point, and so on, and they would go through. And I thought, you know, Barnabas was probably there, and I would think that he would be listening in awe as these men would talk, and they would discuss, and they would speak about the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament and in life. And you think of how the Lord himself on the road to Emmaus, and he's going down, and beginning at Moses and in all the prophets, he spoke of the things concerning himself. And I think of how these men in that Bible reading would have talked about that. And what a joy it would have, and a privilege it would have been to be able to listen to in on their conversations. Now, maybe it's just my imagination, but I like to think that. Now, I notice that our time is gone, so They tell me that I can take next week as well to talk about Barnabas. So if you come back next week, you can hear a little bit more about Barnabas.